What was he wearing? Well, he was wearing a red Argyle sweater and tan trousers and red shoes. Hmm? No, he's not retarded.
Hello and welcome to the Surviving Grady podcast, the second Surviving Grady podcast. My name is Red. I'm excited. I'm happy. Denton, do you know why I'm happy?
You didn't get caught with the hookers?
No. I'm so used to that by now that it's really just a formality when I get caught with the hookers. No, I'm happy because CC Sabathia lost his no-hit bid. He took it into the eighth inning, and he lost it. Kelly Shopek, former Red Sox prospect, Kelly Shopek, was actually the guy who got a hit off him with two outs in the eighth inning. The Yankees won. They basically put the Tampa Bay Rays through the pasta maker. They won like 10. I think it was 10 to nothing. But who cares? CC Sabathia, that fat load. He didn't get his no-hitter tonight. I'm very happy about that. He was close, but it didn't happen. So that's good news for me. And even better news. Josh Beckett actually got his first win of the season. The Red Sox just beat the Royals 8-3, and it was madness. Home runs, Varitek got a couple. It was insanity. I was waiting for the Earth's crust to crack open and Rodan to come out and start chewing people up. That's how insane that game just was. But we end the first week of the season. The first week of the Red Sox 2010 season stands at 2 wins and 3 losses. So we're 2-3. I think things are looking reasonably well. Would you concur with that, Denton, or am I on the crack?
Yeah, probably on the crack anyway. But yeah, the 2-3.
As if I could afford it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I'm not too concerned about any of the individual stats at this point. You know, people are jumping off the bridge about Ortiz not hitting home runs, and you know, Beckett and Lester didn't have great first outings. That stuff doesn't bother me. What bothers me is Friday night's game. Somebody once said, you win 50, you lose 50. It's the other 50 you got to worry about. Friday night's game was one of the other 50. You just can't lose that game. You can't have your bullpen blow a lead to the Kansas City Royals.
You know, I guess I would agree with you there. My whole thing is, and I mentioned this today on the blog, I'm so torn because on the one hand, I say to myself, you know what? A loss in April is the same thing as a loss in September. They both hurt you. If on the last day of the season we are one game behind the Yankees, then we can point to any of these games we lost this week and say, you know, that game we blew, that's the reason we didn't make it this year or something. So they all mean something. The thing is, how much tequila am I mainlining as I'm watching them lose the games? And I guess this early on, it's not as dire as it is in August or September, or certainly October. So looking back on the past week, I would say that my favorite game was opening night, and it was clearly for the pomp. Well, we won, which was a nice thing. It was one of the two games we won this week, but also the pomp and circumstance. I love that shit. I really do. I want jet fighters and robots and lasers. I want it all. I want them blowing things up and shooting things, and Jeff Lynne and the Electric Light Orchestra. I want them coming out.
Weren't you just a little disturbed by Steven Tyler trying to shove his tongue down his own daughter's throat? Just a little.
You know what? That used to happen so much with at our family parties that it's all just white noise to me. But
fair enough.
But honestly, I love a big mess of a thing, and I thought that was just awesome. I think the more crazy that stuff gets, I think, you know, like I said, robots and lasers and trained monkeys and magicians and hookers and chainsaws and hockey players and explosions. That's the stuff. Blow shit up and win the game. Those are really the only two rules that I have for opening night, and they did it. Obviously, the highlight for me was the Pedro Martinez throwing out the first pitch, because I've always been a big Pedro file.
I agree. Pedro was definitely the highlight. I've had as big a man crush on him as anyone, so you know, I love to see him come back and just soak in the crowd while he's taking his 10-minute walk from the outfield. That was awesome. The whole pesky thing was awesome. One thing I could not get my arms around is that little idiot savant kid talking about the Herb Brooks miracle speech. Can't fit that into Red Sox baseball. Hey, the little kid was an annoying little kid. That's the bottom line. Remember your dad? Your dad used to talk about little kids. Why do little kids wear watches? What the hell do they need to know what time it is? Where do they have to go? And I could just picture that little kid wearing a watch while he's spewing his stupid speech. I didn't like it. It didn't fit in.
You know, the one thing I didn't like about this.
I suggested to have ABBA parachute in and rock Dancing Queen or something. It was just left on the back burner again. I'm pretty upset.
I think the one thing that I did not care for with the kid was I don't like the whole idea. I mean, the speech is really positioning us as the underdogs, and I think we're past that. Other than that, like I said, win the game and blow shit up, and I'm a happy guy. But the Pedro thing, the one thing that really made me a little uneasy was when he walked over to Johnny Pesky. It was this beautiful thing. It was this moment of, you know, here he is sort of going off. I mean, I'm sure the instructions for the evening called for him, because, you know, they're on a tight schedule there. They got things to do. They got Pedro comes out. They got airplanes to go. They got to blow shit up. They got national anthems and songs. Pretty tight schedule. But it was interesting when I saw him come off the mound and he walked over to Pesky, and it seemed so beautiful and unscripted. Like, hey, there's that old dude. I love him so much. And he walked over to him, and then the media was on them, and they pounced on them, and you know, he's sitting there talking to this poor doddering old man who we all love, and they're all around, and suddenly it became like this twisted photo op sort of thing. And it was a moment that was really one of those genuinely beautiful moments, like the Ted Williams Nomar thing from the 1999 All-Star Game, and it turned into this really twisted David Lynch screwy thing that was very unsettling to watch, and I actually had to turn away at the end. Other than that, that was still the highlight for me, the reemergence of Pedro Martinez, seeing him come back and get the standing ovation that is always due him whenever he comes. If he walks into a phone booth and you're in there, he gets the standing O. If he walks into Chili's and you're in there, the standing O. That's just the rule wherever he goes in Boston, the standing O.
I think he's more of an Applebee's guy, but
I think you're probably right. You're probably right about that. So I think he's, but point is, wherever he goes, he gets that. Other than that, as far as the first week of the season goes, the only disappointment I have was not seeing Wakefield get the win in his first game. I thought that would have been sort of a nice touch if after your three big guns went, you know, after Beckett went, after Lester went, Lackey went, none of them got the first win their first time around. To see Wakefield come up, you know, the senior spokesperson for the team, to see him come up and actually get the win the first time out where the other three hadn't, that would have been pretty cool. He also would have became, and I wasn't aware of this, he would have become the oldest person, the oldest Red Sox starter to win a game, which I thought was kind of interesting. So I don't know.
I did not know that.
I don't know if you had any anything that kind of...
That was my Ed McMahon impersonation.
I got that.
Nailed it.
Between that and the Applebee's comment, we should almost have the rim shot machine hooked up at this. So we'll have to work that in. So what? Any disappointments you carry over from the first week?
No, I got to agree with the Wakefield thing. He certainly pitched good enough to win, as did Lackey, and neither one of them came off with a win. But with this rotation, the wins are going to come. Probably starting this week, we've got series coming up with the Minnesota Twins and the Rays, who I will once again, for the second year in a row, go on record and say the Rays are not for real. They are not going to be American League East contenders. I swore last year they would finish under 500. They proved me wrong, but they still finished with less than 90 wins, if I remember correctly. And I don't think they're going to do much better this year. I don't see where they really improved. I think, as is evident by the Yankee beatdown tonight, they're not in the same league as the Red Sox and Yankees. And I hope we sweep them. I don't like them.
Looking at Timmy Wakefield starting this in 2010, and looking at the rotation he's in his very first year with the Red Sox, the rotation that he was a part of was Roger Clemens, Wakey, Vaughn Eshelman, Eric Hansen, and Zane Smith. That was the rotation that he was, that in his first year with the Red Sox, the first year they plucked him off the scrap heap and he came to us. That was the rotation he was in. So I'd say it's significantly upgraded the rotation he's a part of this year. Is it the best rotation he's ever been a part of? I don't know. Maybe it is. You know, Schilling, Pedro, Lowe in 2004. Is this a better rotation?
I think it's a better rotation, but we don't have the offense we had back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, how it all ends up, who knows? But
how do you match up? How do you match John Lester to Vaughn Eshelman? Who has the edge there?
I can admit I at least remember Vaughn Eshelman. I don't remember Zane Smith.
I thought he was a character in Beneath the Planet of the Apes. I swore that he was one of the wasn't he the astronaut they sent to find Taylor? I thought he was, but apparently he was also a pitcher.
Well,
I do remember.
Should have been.
Exactly. I do remember Eric.
He certainly didn't make it as a pitcher. So.
No, I do remember That's right. Right. He went right from our rotation into the space program. And enough frivolity. Getting on, as you mentioned, this week we have the Minnesota Twins. We actually have one more game Sunday with Kansas City. Then it's three games in Minnesota, and then we have the back home for the Tampa Bay Rays, and then I think after that we've got the Rangers coming in. So we have a pretty nice homestand starting up next weekend.
What's your prediction for the six games next week? What do you think?
I say we win them all. We're going to win them all, and Ortiz is going to hit three home runs. He'll have three home runs by next Saturday. In fact, write that down. I want you to write that down. Ortiz will have three home runs by next Saturday. We're going to win every game, and I'm going to wake up in a Tijuana hotel with Emily Benjamin and Heidi Watney. So write all that down, and we'll be back next week to analyze it a little bit further. But that's my prediction right there. You got anything? Can you top that? I say they're winning them all. They're taking them all. This is going to be one of those early season win streaks that we love so much.
I can't top that. I'm going to say they win both series 2 out of 3.
Okay. All right. Well,
I don't plan on waking up in any hotel room. No, anyone,
right. So. All right. We agree to disagree then on that. But anyway, those are our predictions. My name is Red. His name is Denton. We'll see you next time.